We'll talk a little bit more about this very topic because I do believe that it's of the Lord. Sunday morning we made mention of those that were in Jesus' inner circle who at the very crisis hour when he needed them to pray, they instead fell asleep. It's Matthew 26. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Just as it is in any other struggle of your Christian experience, it is always a battle of the flesh and the spirit. And the same is true when it comes to prayer. And I make no claims to being, you know, a person deep in prayer, but I do know over the years that that it is probably the most, the most omitted thing from our lives and from our Christian experience that's so obviously the answer from God's Word. I read this verse, I was reading these verses in Psalm 63 about praising the Lord. And really, whenever we come in to the house of the Lord, if we could just think of it this way, and even on this, on a Wednesday night, since we do call this a prayer meeting service, what if we really focused this night on more serious prayer? Not that there aren't other times that we should be praying, but when I read this verse about praising, about praise from Psalm 63, it says, to see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. What we see in the sanctuary should help to develop a pattern in our life that it would go beyond here. So the Wednesday night service could truly be a prayer meeting, and I know you probably don't use the word, and I don't either, use the word catalyst very often. But a catalyst is just something that brings about change. It could be a person or an event that happens in your life that brings about a change in your life. I've had that experience over the years where there have been different ministries that I came into contact with, and after hearing the ministry, the preaching, the teaching, that it had such an effect on me that it shifted me, it changed me, and for the better, and helped me. And so that's really what a catalyst is. Is something, it's like something that stimulates, it's like a spark that leads to something different and even greater. And when we think of something in the realm of the spirit, then the Wednesday night meeting, if we truly made this more of a prayer meeting, just an effort of the saints of God to get together and to pray about all different kinds of needs. And we first start off by praising God. We enter into his courts with praising God. And then we move into a time of prayer where we're making petition to the Lord, when we are interceding, when we're seeking the Lord and we're waiting on the Lord. And we're asking God to use this meeting to be the catalyst, the change agent. So the psalmist was saying, just what I see in the sanctuary, I want to make that something that affects all of my life and all of my Christian experience, my walk with the Lord. If we are to be truly a house of prayer that God has called us to be for the nations, it says, that we are to be called a house of prayer for the nations. So then we come together collectively as a group. Maybe we should ask ourselves, couldn't we just spend this hour or hour and 20 minutes or 30 minutes or however long we're here Couldn't we use this time as a time to ask the Lord to bring about some change in us, to affect us in such a way, so that we would be changed through our daily walk, and our other services then would be changed because they have been supported by that hour of prayer. I know if you have read the story of Jim Cimbala and the Brooklyn Tabernacle, then that's the testimony that he gives in his book about the change that came to their church. It was literally a church that was just a few members with hardly any way to support the church, nothing going on until the Lord began to talk to them about prayer. It wasn't Wednesday night. It was a Tuesday night. Doesn't really matter the night, but he said that was the thing that God used to change the church. It was the catalyst, the change agent that brought about the change to all the body. So it doesn't matter if there's 20 of us or 40 of us or 50 of us here on a Wednesday night, if we really focused our hearts and our attention upon seeking the Lord, then the Lord, not that we don't need other times of prayer, we certainly do. But what if we just allowed this Wednesday night, when we normally gather together, to be an event that we get together and we pray in a greater way than we ever have before? That we really seek the Lord and call upon the name of the Lord. One of my favorite verses that I've turned to many, many times, and a lot of people quote from Jeremiah 29 and 11, but they don't tend, and I don't tend to look to some of the verses that follow this wonderful verse in Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. We quote that verse because it talks about our future. It talks about the promise of God and that God has us on his mind and he has a plan for us and he wants to give us a future. He wants to give us an expected future. He wants to do some mighty things in our life from this day forward. But you have to read on in this passage to really get to understand this is how that will happen. God will bring about the reality of our future and great things that he wants to do if we, verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. So the future and the promise and the fulfillment of all that God wants to provide for every one of us as believers. Wonderful things. And if you've quoted that verse and thought, isn't it wonderful that God has a plan? It's not a plan for evil, but it's a plan for peace. It is a plan for good. It's a plan to give us an expected end, a hope, and a future that God wants to give to us. Well, all of that is all conditional upon our willingness to call upon the name of the Lord, to seek the Lord, to search for him with all of our heart, to seek the Lord. Then he says, when you do that, then I will be found of you. I will fulfill all these things. You'll see my mighty hand being fulfilled in your life. So what does it mean, since there's this verse and many other verses that tell us that we need to call upon the Lord? What does it mean to call upon the Lord? It means to summon His aid, to summon his attention, to ask God to come to your rescue, to involve himself in your life, to call out to the Lord. The word gives the idea of not only asking God, summoning the Lord to come and to help you, but to cry aloud and to get the attention of God. Not that you have to speak loud for him to hear you, but he wants to know that you're fervent, that you're sincere, that you really mean it, that you're really truly pouring your heart, that He said, you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And then a scripture in Hebrews talks about when we seek him diligently, then we'll experience, we'll see his mighty hand. We have to say, Lord, first of all, we have to say, Lord, forgive me, because most of my prayers have been pretty feeble and pretty lame and pretty much without much thought. I just say the same things, and I'm not really pouring my heart out before you and calling and asking you, Lord, please come and rescue me. Please come in and involve in the circumstances of my life and my need. Come and move whatever the things are that you want to see God bring to you. The future and the hope that God has for you will only be realized when we are willing to seek the Lord with our whole heart. Amen. 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 So we need to call upon the Lord. Another passage that's one of my favorite passages in Jeremiah 33 in verse 3. And I have gone through and I read through this one time several years ago, and it's just like the outline, and that one verse just popped out to me. So I've preached it years ago from Jeremiah 33 and 3. Call unto me. And that's what we're talking about here tonight. Calling out to God, lifting up our voices and our hearts and crying out to God for help, for God to come and to move in our life. And Jeremiah says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. First of all, here's what I saw in that verse of scripture several years ago, where it says, call unto me, and then the Lord says, I will answer. I will answer. Amen. What an amazing promise that is. And so it's a certain thing. When God says, I will, when the I am says, I will, you can count on it. Amen. When God says, I will, if you'll call unto me, I will answer. Not any other condition that's mentioned there. It just says, if you will become fervent and diligent to call out to God, that God will hear you. Amen. So there's the certainty of the answer whenever you call upon the Lord. That was my first point. A certain answer. And then he says, I will answer thee. My second point in that verse is it will be a personal answer. You may feel like, well, God will move for my friends. He'll move for my other people that are more spiritual than me, but I don't really deserve the Lord to move for me. But he just says, I will answer thee. I will answer you. That God has promised, I will give you a personal answer. I'll give you personal attention. Praise God. I will answer thee. You're not insignificant in the eyes of the Lord. You're a child of God. You belong to him. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so you are invited to come and to call upon the name of the Lord. And he will answer with certainty, and he will answer you personally. Praise God. I will answer thee. Amen. The third point is, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. I will show thee. The third point in that outline is it will be a visible answer. I will reveal myself. You'll say, Lord, this could have not have happened except you. It will be obvious. It will be I will show you. I will show you my mighty hand in your behalf. You won't be able to say, well, maybe the doctors did this, or maybe someone else helped out this problem or solved this problem. He said, I will move for you personally, and I will show you. You'll see, it will be obvious that it was the hand of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I will answer thee, a visible answer. God loves to prove himself. Matthew 6 and 6, it says that we are to, when you pray, enter into thy closet, When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It will be a visible thing. It will be an obvious thing whenever God begins to work in your behalf. Amen. I just believe with all of my heart that we do not take advantage of the wonderful promises of God's Word. A lot of our praying is complaining. A lot of our praying is just kind of going over with God our personal grievances. You know, Lord, why is this happening and why is that happening? Why did this change? Or why, instead of coming to the Lord in faith and confidence in Him and asking Him, He said, if you'll call on me, if you'll summon me to come and get involved in the midst of your life and your situation, I will answer thee and show thee. Glory to God. An answer. The fourth point here, I will show thee great and mighty things. It's interesting that the Hebrew word for mighty there is the word inaccessible. Inaccessible. It just means it's out of your reach. I will show you great and mighty things. It means things that are out of your reach. You can't solve it. You can't redeem it. You can't change it. It's out of your reach. It's not accessible to you, but it's within the reach of God's mighty hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's agree together. Let's believe God. Let's pray together. Let's turn the Wednesday night meetings. Now, I know next Wednesday night we're not having church as we normally do because of the annual business meeting. But as we begin the month of June and move into the summer months, this turn this Wednesday night prayer meeting into truly a prayer meeting where we come calling upon the Lord, where we come asking God, we come believing God to give personal answers, real answers, answers that are out of reach, that are impossible, inaccessible to you. Genesis 18 and 14, the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. I believe that God is saying, bring to me your hard situations. Bring to me your big needs. Bring to me your overwhelming problems. Bring those things to me. They're not too hard for me. They're not too big for me. I want you to come in faith believing. I want you to bring these things to me and put your faith in me and your confidence in me, because there is no solution outside of God. It's inaccessible. But God will give to you some mighty answers. Some mighty answers as we call upon the Lord. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Which thou knowest not. It's akin to the fourth point. But things that are, it literally means something that is secret and hidden. Amen. So whenever God does things that you don't know and you can't imagine, you need to also remember that God may be working and often is working behind the scenes and in secret ways that you cannot see, and you need to get a hold of it. Sometimes if you in prayer or calling upon the Lord, you don't see the visible answer, but you get the assurance in your heart that God is at work, that God is moving. You may not see it, the evidence of it, but you're praying and you sense in your spirit that the answer's on the way. Praise God. That God is moving. So it might be something secret. It might be something hid. But whenever God moves, He says, I'll show you some mighty things that are inaccessible to you. They are secret and they are hidden. But my ways are greater and higher than your ways. And my thoughts are above yours. And if you'll just put your confidence and your trust in me, I will reveal myself in mighty ways. Ways that you can't ever imagine. One of the things that we do whenever we're praying about things is we often say, God, would you take care of this need or this problem? And Lord, if you would just do this. And we start telling God how to solve the problem. You know, He doesn't need your advice. He doesn't need your input on that. He wants you to just commit it to Him so that whenever He reveals Himself in a mighty way, in some secret hidden way that God reveals his mighty power in your behalf. You just kind of stand back in awe of what God has done. And again, just saying, Lord, I know that this had to be you. This was you, Lord. There was no way that this could be solved, and certainly not solved the way that you solved it. And so the Lord wants to move in your behalf. So what a wonderful promise there in Jeremiah 33. Amen. Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord, and I will answer thee and show thee. You'll see the evidence of it. God at work. God at work. Mighty things, inaccessible things, out of your reach. And then answers that come in amazing ways. Secret and unknown ways that God reveals himself in your behalf. Praise God. So what could we do on Wednesday night? Well, we can start off with entering into his courts with praise. We can do like we do and sing a couple of songs and just enter into the presence of the Lord in praise. Taking offerings is fine, and it's worship as well. But we enter right in then, and we start praying for different needs. We start praying for the sick, for those that are struggling physically. We pray for the unsaved. We pray for the backsliders. We pray for the church. We pray for the leadership of the church. We pray for the ministries of the church. We pray for provision for the church and for fruitfulness in the church and revival in the church. We pray for the leaders of the church, and that God would show himself strong among his people in the church. We pray for the families of the church and the marriages of the church. We pray for our little children and for our youth, our young people. We pray that God would move in the lives of our children and our young people, and believe God to keep them on track, serving the Lord all the days of their life, and give to them an experience with God that they never get away from. Amen. We pray for our nation. We pray for the nations of the world. Amen. We'll be called, we need to be called a house of prayer to the nations. We need to pray. We need to pray for all of our missionaries that are all over the world. We need to pray for our own community here that's lost and in need of God. We need to pray. And on and on the list goes of things to be praying about on a Wednesday night. And we could just put this together and purpose together that we're going to spend some time lifting up our voices and calling upon the Lord. We'll spend some time interceding in prayer. That means praying for others and getting yourself involved in the needs of others. And it may be that you would want to bring that person or that need before the people. Make your need known as we intercede together. There might be time for preaching and teaching, or maybe not. I don't know. But I just believe that we need to allow this to be in the sanctuary, something that becomes a catalyst that begins to make a change in us. Change us and work in us and do something. You say, oh, there's just so few of us here on Wednesday night. Well, this might be the very key to God stirring the hearts of people to see they have needs, and they need to get in the middle of this, because people's needs are being met in that prayer meeting. Amen. And as God begins to stir the hearts to the group that's here on Wednesday night, I believe that it can be something that can spread. It can have an impact on your life, your witness, your ministry, your usefulness in the kingdom of God, and then spread to all the ministries of the church, spread to all of our services, spread to the altars being filled up with people on a regular basis, with people seeking God, coming to the Lord, leaving their sin and crying out to God. Is that your desire? Is that the hunger of your heart? Well, I want you to know that I know I can't produce that. And there's not any of us here that can produce that. There's not a preacher that can preach good enough to produce that. It has to be something divine, something from heaven, a visitation from God. It has to be God raining on us, pouring out his Spirit upon us, each and every one of us, to give us what we need to be able to fulfill the ministry that God has given to us. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. That's what the psalmist is saying. What I've seen in the sanctuary, I want it in my daily life. I want it everywhere that I go. I want the same. So there has to be something going on here among us that causes us to take it with us and to impart it to every other part of the ministry of the church right here. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. As we close this service tonight, praying together about God's plan, what He's wanting to do, what He's wanting to do among us here, right at this location, First Pentecostal Church. Oh, He's got a plan. Amen. He has a plan. He has a future. He has great things, mighty things that He has planned for us. None of it will be realized unless we call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. I want to see it. I want to realize the power and the presence of God in a greater measure. Amen. Let's call upon the Lord. Let's ask the Lord tonight. If this is His will, ask Him to bless this effort. To bless this effort. To turn this meeting on Wednesday night into more of a focused prayer meeting than anything else. Amen. Certainly we want to be led of the Spirit. But let's pray together. Lord, if this is Your will, would You bless it? Lord, if this is Your will, and I'm convinced, Lord, that You want to stir up the hearts of Your people toward this place becoming a house of prayer. Lord, that this time that we have, we come together on Wednesday night. Lord, let it not just be a time that we just fulfill our church duties and need to be there because I just need to be in church, need to support the church. But instead, that it would be a time, Lord, help us, Lord, to see Your plan unfold, to see Your glory and Your mighty power revealed to us, Lord. Stir the hearts of men and women. Stir the hearts of every age group, Lord, that we would seek You with our whole hearts, to seek You, Lord. God, from this very point, Lord, would you let this be a spark that would ignite faith and a confidence and a desire, Lord, to see You at work in our behalf. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence here tonight. Thank You for the testimonies of Your faithfulness. And Lord, use this to encourage us to seek You diligently. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, that You are with us. You're directing us by Your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord bless you.